Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on February 16th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lipps. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing
good.
Fabulous.
Morning. I'm
Friday.
Always doing great on a Friday.
I know. Fridays are so fantastic, aren't they? It's our fabulous Friday.
I'm glad we do this on a Friday. Imagine if we did it on a Tuesday. We'd be all, yeah, how you doing?
No, I can't see this happening on a Tuesday. It would never happen on a Tuesday. I have a question for Mark. Uh-huh. Mark, I am so excited about your escape pod. I am so excited. Are you going to do a little work on it before you do it?
The work has been done. I have to replace the tent that pops up. Got to replace that. I was actually thinking, I didn't realize it was a 3-day weekend, so maybe it's too crowded out there, but I was thinking of actually going out this weekend and testing it out. You know, I've got a cover for it. It's in the back of my garage, and it's, you know, I've been putting stuff inside it to get it all fixed up. And, you know, I'm just going to keep teasing with it a little bit. And, oh, I am going to get metallic or magnet signs that say Manhattan Beach Chamber.
Escape pod
and put it on the sides. And when we go to events, I'll take that and it'll be part of the event too, which I think would be kind of fun.
You know, that is so exciting. I was talking to Gloria Placentia the other day. She leased a studio. She has a new studio she's working on. She wants me to come by and check it out. It's in Redondo. It's in Redondo on Aviation. Aviation and Grant, I think she said. I know when she described the building, I knew which one it was, but it's a great location.
Well, when you see her, you know, she's a chamber member. I need to reach out to her. She needs to promote the new space. Send me some information. She's been kind of radio silent for a little while.
She's been looking for a long time.
I know,
and now she's found it. And as I said, she called me this week and she said, "You got to come by." You know, she said, "I want to have a big opening." You know, and I said, "Well, with the chamber." She said, "Absolutely." And I was telling her about, I said, "You weren't at the reinvigorated chamber thing, the social
State of the
you
city?
Had." No, the social you had at the new offices.
Oh, right.
I said, you weren't there. I said, they totally fixed up the offices. They fixed up the conference room. I said, did you know that chamber members can use that conference room for their own meetings at no charge. I said, Mark wants it to be like a clubhouse for members to come by, have a cup of coffee, use their phones, use the conference room.
Yep. So I've already got people going to use it. Ronnie Ramos has already signed up to use the conference room for a big presentation she's making. You know, totally free.
Yeah.
There's no other place you can do that. You know?
Right.
And then if you want to walk, if you want to have clients in here and you want to walk to lunch, what a great place to walk over to Metlocks or someplace downtown and have some lunch if you want to do a client lunch after or before. So,
yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. Well, I was sort of informing her of all of this, and then I told her about the escape pod. And I'm like, that is just going to be the coolest thing. I said, so that when the chamber has a ribbon cutting or you have social or you're at an event with a – you know, you'll have your pop-up tent, but you can pull up your escape pod, and I'm sure there'll be adult beverages involved. I think it's going to be fabulous. You know,
yeah.
We always thought
if we get into trouble with wine at the inside our offices, we'll just move out to the escape pod.
There you go. Well, Rebel Coast Winery has one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a Vanagon or
older version. Those are the classics, you know, from the 60s. You know, those are a little smaller and granted vintage, but they don't have all the buzzers and bells. It wasn't until Vanagon created the Westphalia line that you saw all these really, and that's what I have. It's 1990, owned by one owner, and I met him in San Diego, picked it up there. I mean, totally, the engine purrs. I mean, it just is in such great shape. I had to replace the battery, and, you know, it's just in great shape. Hey, listen, I want to talk, before we get with Sheila, I do want to talk about something very serious. You know, the shootings in Florida. Once again, just reminding us that it can happen anywhere. We have to be diligent. Manhattan Beach is not immune to these things. We've had scares at the high school, things like that. So we were going to do an active shooter seminar. We have moved that up as of yesterday. We are now doing it March 5th at 10 a.m., and it's going to be delivered. The presentation will be – I'm going to try to involve the city and the Manhattan Beach Police Department as well, but presentation is going to be delivered by Jim Potts, who you may have met. He was at our town hall. But he's a certified terrorist investigator. He goes up and down the state of California delivering these presentations. You know, he was in the Sheriff's Department Terrorism Task Force. He was one of those consultants that worked with the Orange County shooting. He really knows what he's talking about. And also, he travels all over the world, too. His specialty is intelligence. He was on the intelligence team for Central and South America. And he's written a couple of books and all that. But we want to have something just for people to feel a little more secure about, you know, what do I do? I'm in Metlocks, an active shooter shows up. What do I do? I'm at the hometown fair, an active shooter shows up. What do I do? And Manhattan Village, any of these – you know, downtown, north end, anywhere, any of these dense areas that we have, somebody snaps and disgruntled, whatever it is, it shows up, what do we do? And so we're really rushing to get this information out to our members,
Mark,
and residents and everything else. It's Monday, March 5th at the public library.
Mark, it couldn't be more timely. Last night at 7:53, I received an email from Sergeant Tim Zins from the Manhattan Beach Police Department. On Thursday, February 15th, at approximately 14:50 hours, the Manhattan Beach Police Department was made aware of a Snapchat photo sent out by a MiraCosta High School student of an airsoft handgun pointed at other students.
Mm.
All right, this happened last night.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't open the Nixle. I got the announcement, but I didn't open it up to read it. I was in the middle of something. So that's what it was.
Manhattan Beach Police School Resource Officer was on campus, and he was notified about the photo by MiraCosta school staff. MBPD immediately began investigation to identify the student. The student was identified and admitted to stickering a photo of the handgun over a photo of students on campus. No gun was brought onto the campus. The student was arrested and booked for criminal threats. The Manhattan Beach Police Department determined there was no immediate threat to any students on campus. All right. So, and they have assigned officers to conduct direct patrols and all around the schools. It happened yesterday in our South Bay.
Wow.
It happened yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, that is a very
serious
issue.
So let's go back to
March
something
5th,
a little
right?
more fun. The what?
Yeah.
March 5th.
March 5th, yes, at the Manhattan Beach Public Library. If it gets too big, we'll move it over to Jocelyn.
All right.
All right.
Well, you know something, you know what's amazing is the kids that they interviewed after what happened, they were all they knew what to do. They had had some training. These kids were like, yeah, you know, run, hide, fight. They already had the training. They, as a matter of fact, a lot of the news reporters are like, I can't believe how poised you are after this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was terrible, terrible. But, terrible, terrible, terrible. But, okay, that's good to know. One more time, give us that information one more time, Mark.
It is March 5th at 10 a.m., active shooter seminar, and it is 10 a.m. to noon. It will be at the Manhattan Beach Public Library in the community room, March 5th.
All right. All right. Very, very, very good information there. All right.
Now,
go.
Mark, I have something I want to ask Mark about. In the latest Happy Friday, AquaViable. Tell me a little bit about AquaViable from Danny.
AquaViable, well, come in and check it out. It is a machine. It's basically, you know, it's basically a dehumidifier, right? But it's dehumidifier 2.0. In other words, it's now been engineered to pull water out of the air. You have to have a 30% or more humidity for it to really work. And usually we're at 44 to 54% here in the office, and because there's a whole readout on the machine. But so it pulls the water out, but it runs it through a whole filter and multiple filters, and it comes out, and it is the cleanest, clearest water. And it, you know, with the exception of plugging it in, and if you're on solar, then you're really off the grid.
Right.
But
yeah.
Talk about the purest way of recycling your water. And we pitched it to the city at a city council meeting or at an environmental meeting with city council, and Richard Montgomery loves it, and so they're going to put one to test it out over in the city hall. And if they like it, then they're going to buy a few of these and put them around town at the different city buildings. And AquaViable.
It's not even recycling water. It's creating water out of air.
Well, I guess they say there's a finite we're drinking the same water the dinosaurs drank.
Right.
There's a finite amount of water that just circulates.
Right.
Yeah. So you are recycling. I mean, this water came from somewhere and recycled. I mean, may have started in the anywhere, you know. But there's only so much water. And
it's a beautiful thing. AquaViable produces water without transporting water. And the way that, bottled water is transported.
Well, you get rid of the plastic. No. You get rid of – there's so many things that come along with bottled water if you do it. And then, of course, you know, you can filter your water. But this is, you know, if there was a way for it to run, you know, I guess you could put a battery in it maybe. But then you've got to dispose of the battery. But if there was a way, you know, if you did it through your house, for instance, if you had it at a business and you had – solar power, that would really be no carbon footprint whatsoever. You know, you're recycling that water, and it's great water,
I just wanted to highlight this. AquaViable.
Yeah, go to AquaViable.com.
AquaViable.com.
Danny Quisenberry, great guy, local guy. I've known him for years. He's a lawyer here in town, and he's very entrepreneurial. He's one of those guys who just loves to get involved in projects and work on things, you know.
Yep, I know him. I know him. He's involved with Mixagogo.
That's it, Mixagogo.
Yeah.
Right, with BB and all those,
Right. It's Joanne's hot list.
Yeah, and Heather, and you know him. Heather's his girlfriend, and everybody knows Danny.
You know, it's funny, when I went to your social hour mixer at the new chamber offices, before I had an adult beverage, I saw the machine. I was like, oh, I'm thirsty. And I grabbed a glass of water out of it, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't pay any attention. I just pushed the button and poured myself a glass and drank it, and it was good, but I didn't even look at it. I didn't know until later on you mentioned it. So, and then I went back, I said, oh, I drank that already. So very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It's fun.
Beautiful. All right. Well, this is going to be one of those great shows we're looking forward to very, very much. It's one of those shows where most people, you know, are going to learn something that they know they should know, they know they want to know, but they just never get to around to getting this information and getting trained and getting a mentor. So we're excited. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Sheila Miller Nelson. As founder and CEO of Speak and Present Confidently, Sheila is passionate about helping people become comfortable in all communication settings. While presenting is often thought of in a formal sense, presentation of self is an ongoing occurrence that impacts relationships, team building, and ultimately your success. There are few skills used so frequently and consistently, yet we often do not seek or receive training in these areas. As a result, many people feel uncomfortable and unsure. To help clients reap the benefits of remarkable presentation and communication, Sheila combines multiple elements from her diverse background to create an interactive, results-driven approach. She has a BA in speech communication and worked for 17 years in the aerospace industry, 10 as a project manager. Sheila went on to spend 10 years coaching for Dale Carnegie and 2 years as a customer service manager for a high-end client. Now, she is also a certified sign language interpreter and SAG-AFTRA actress. Now, Sheila recently did a lunch and learn for the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and today she's going to share some of her expertise with us on presenting yourself confidently. Welcome to the program, Sheila. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I could scarcely find the words, Sheila, for how important what you do is to every member of the Manhattan Beach Chamber. Every member within the sound of our voices has to do exactly what you are a specialist at doing. They have to present their business. They have to speak confidently. They have to persuade, inform, educate. And, many people are not very, very good at this. They try to hire it. They try to partner with it. But sometimes that doesn't work. If you're going to hire someone to speak for you or for the business or partner with someone that's better at that than you are, that can work, but it often doesn't work. Can you talk a little bit about how important it is to be able to speak confidently?
Absolutely. When you are in charge of anything, that includes yourself, right? So in the intro, Jackie mentioned, we're always on, whether it's just presenting myself when I go to get my coffee in the morning. I'm always on and people are watching. Mm-hmm. So I can't always have someone else do the speaking for me. Everyone has the opportunity to do that well, and not everybody has had the training for that. So it is often that I run into people who are hands down circles around me more brilliant. I work with many engineers and mathematicians and people who could have conversations that I wouldn't begin to understand. The challenge is that they haven't had any training in presentation or representation, so therefore they have brilliant ideas and sometimes they really have some difficulty formulating them to get them out to an audience so that an audience can understand, and not only so that they can understand, but so that an audience is actually drawn to them and interested in their ideas. And when we have a company or an idea, or we're on the PTA, or we're part of the chamber, whatever it is that we're doing, we all have thoughts and ideas that we want to sell, even if it's bringing to my family where I think we should go on vacation. How can I best do that if I've never had any training in what's going to make me effective and impactful?
Right.
So it's something
right.
that we all can use. And I'll be honest with you, I get coaching from other folks because we never stop learning, and there's no level of perfection in this. In presentation and communication, you never reach the top and then stop. There's always room mm-hmm. for growth. Things are always changing, and we are always changing and creating or incorporating new bad habits. So I have had other coaches help me out when they've said, hey, you know, you're always saying right. You seem to say right a lot. That's your go-to word. And so I've had to adjust that. So it's a continual effort to learn and relearn.
I will say this. Excuse me, Joe. We had Sheila, we do our lunch and learns the first Friday of every month. And that's where chamber members come, or anybody. Actually, we have a lot of non-chamber members, too, because we always have a guest speaker. And this last lunch and learn, we had Sheila come and speak. And, you know, and I think people sometimes think, oh, okay, she's going to talk on public speaking. She's talking about enunciation and all this stuff. And, you know, but I got to tell you, when she got into her presentation and started talking to these guys, and she only had like 15 to 20 minutes, I mean, everybody came away and was saying, oh, that was great. That was what I needed. Because sometimes you don't realize what you need. And that really pointed out some things. And people, that was a great lunch with as far as a guest speaker, because that's something that no matter what profession, whether it's something you just deal with an employee or deal with a boss or you deal with the public or you deal with speaking to groups of people in service clubs or anything along those lines, you still have to get your message out in a respectful and credible manner. And that's what she was talking about, and showing people and little tricks to make that happen and to make sure that you watch out for yourself. So I got to tell you, we don't teach this enough in the schools. This is one of those things, too, in the schools that we just need to spend more time on. Unbelievable. Communication is key.
I took a class in college, public speaking. I took a class in college.
Yeah, but that should start mandatory early.
It should start in the second or third grade, if not sooner. Sheila.
Yeah.
There was a question there, I'm sure of it.
Just in day-to-day interactions with people, I cannot stand it when somebody's talking to you and they won't make eye contact or their body line.
You're cutting out, Jackie.
Yes.
Can you hear that, Jackie, that you're cutting out? But go on, Sheila.
I think I got the gist of the question. Let me know if I get it right, Jackie. I was asked to come to the Young Entrepreneurs Academy a few weeks mm-hmm. ago, and that's something that we worked on. I just did a simple 10 minutes with them talking about handshakes, looking in the eyes, stating your name so people can understand it, because when mm-hmm. we communicate, it's 100% on me to make sure that you got my message. You're just a passive bystander listener. And if you think about it, I have, first of all, let me go on record as saying I have no problem with technology, television, iPads, iPhones, anything. And that said, because that's the direction that especially I have a 7-year-old that our youngsters are going, don't have as much opportunity to practice. We don't, and with families moving up and away and being so scattered, that's another thing. I mean, when I was a kid, right, you went to big family gatherings where you had to speak to aunts and uncles and grandparents and all that sort of thing. And we didn't necessarily embrace it at the time, but we were getting such a great education in how to have the one-on-one contact, the eye contact, tell people stories, those types of things. And we're getting away from that a little bit today. In some cases, a lot.
Well, and I think the reason, Sheila, is, and not that I know, but I think everything is being done in such shorthand now that people are, it can even go further back than that. We have lost the ability to write. We've lost the ability to really put down in words what and do it in a way that, I mean, if you go back and look at things that kids wrote back in the early 1900s or even late 1800s or, you know, or maybe the 60s, I mean, these guys were writing, and you're looking and go, wow, they really everything now is promoting 140 characters. LOL or, and we're
OMG.
Not learning to write. And then you translate that to take that a step further. We're not learning to communicate, to stand up and get my point across.
And Mark, I think I touched on this the other week in the Lunch and Learn, that we have also diminished our scope of words. So I just got done listening to a book that was Old English, or Older English, I should say, and they used words like clever. And I was typing an email the other day, and I almost told a person how clever they were, and I thought, oh my gosh, they'll ask me what's wrong, who uses the word clever. The challenge is that we have taken words like awesome, and as the Lego movie says, everything is awesome, and we inherited that. So your shirt is awesome. That purse is awesome. The movie was awesome. Well, what is Yosemite? What are the pyramids? Are they not awe-inspiring? Are they not awesome? So then is that purse really awesome, or is that purse just pretty, or is that a nice color, or does that shirt just look good on you? So we've diminished those words. And then when somebody says, I'm fine, if you ask somebody how they are today and they say, oh, I'm fine, what's wrong?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
We talked about that. That was a good point. And you're absolutely right. Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
Sheila, I got to tell you something. You know, I'm a writer by trade, and I'm a word person. You know, I love words. I love the language. I'm always looking for is that the right word to use? You know, what's better? But as a writer, you can do that. But it does translate to my interactions with people. And I can't tell you how many times I will make a statement to somebody and they look at me and they're like, wow, those are some words you use. Mm-hmm. And I look at them like, what do you mean? That is so funny, because that happens to me on a fairly regular basis. And it's something as simple as using a word like clever. And along with awesome, you know what else? You know what? Another pet peeve? Epic. Oh, it was epic. Everything was epic, epic, epic. Yeah. Let's get some descriptions.
Yesterday,
everybody.
Jackie, for us, yesterday the word was awkward. Everything was awkward.
Yes. Everything was awkward yesterday. we had a good show yesterday. Awkward. Yeah. That's really interesting.
And one of the challenges with that can be, I talk about, and I'm actually presenting again for the Chamber on March 15th, and we'll be talking a lot about congruency of voice and gesture and words. Now, if I, Jackie, say, I bring you in and I say, oh, that necklace is awesome that you're wearing today, and then 20 minutes later, when I'm trying to compliment you on a project that you've done, or we're in a review and I'm telling you what an awesome job you've done this year, it loses the weight, right? Because if it's only as awesome as your necklace, we're not being very congruent with our words, what our words should mean and what we want them to mean.
I turn that off and on.
So, Sheila, what people do in the modern vernacular is they say that's effing awesome. And I can tell you that among my children, the 20-somethings generation, that effing this and effing that, awesome, whatever, they have lost the ability to describe
they've lost the ability to use adjectives or adverbs because they've run out.
You know, I never thought about any of this, Sheila. Yeah, seriously, I mean, I thought that when you were talking about presenting yourself, I thought it was look someone in the eye and shake, have a good handshake and speak clearly and confidently. But you're right, there's so much more to it than that. I never would have thought of the words we use, the lack of language there is these days.
And you're right, Jackie. When you choose different words or go outside our, you know, our little column of acceptable words today, people either say, "I have no idea what you're trying to say," or, "Well, who are you trying to be?"
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Just come down and meet me at this level because we don't. And that's really sad because dictionaries are pretty thick. I mean, there are a bunch of words in there that we don't. That we have chosen not to use wisely these days. But Jackie, to your point, there's a whole spectrum of things. In fact, I have a whole list when I deal with clients because oftentimes when I go to a client, they say, I would like some training. And first we need to start with in what area do you need talking?
Yeah.
Do you need to talk about difficult conversations? Perhaps there's a supervisor or a situation where you say, yeah, we've got some people who need to have some tough conversations and that's not going well. Or perhaps it's a team communication, an emotional intelligence, or it could be right now I'm working at Raytheon doing a class where we're working with just a handful of people, about 10 people, using videotape feedback to do just this, presentation skills. And again, it's not just stand up and don't stand up straight and don't say, there's a whole psychology underlying that with the congruency of your message. Here's a for instance. If I come home and say, I got a B, or if I come home and say, I got a B, you, the audience, my parents, my friends, whoever it is I'm speaking to, knows exactly how to react to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I come home cheerful and say I got a B, it's probably great news because for whatever reasons. But the challenge can be when we don't give our audience any clues or we don't give them the proper clues. And then our audience is confused. And again, it's on us to give the message fully so that they understand it. And when we're giving them mixed signals, they will always. What do you think? Do you think, I'll give this out to you guys, do you think that they believe our words or how we look and how we say it?
I think the physical is probably more impactful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's actually a study, Dr. Albert Morabian and team did a study, and this was years ago in the 70s, but they showed how if I stand there and I cross my arms and I pop one hip out and I kind of give you a, you know, crooked look and say, oh, yeah, that's a nice shirt. Well, I said that's a nice shirt. So if you just took those words, you'd say, well, that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
But what trumps that is how I look and how I'm saying that. And so if I give a conflicted message to my audience, one that doesn't match, they will always believe my body over my words.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Hey,
absolutely.
Joe, you know, we're having such a great conversation. We're a couple of minutes past. We need to do that, a quick station break, and we just got to do that.
Yes, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're having a great discussion about words, about language, about being confident in your words, but also just being confident in your ability to communicate with others. And we're going to continue to have that discussion, and I hope you can join us. And as a matter of fact, perhaps you can even call in. We'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. I'm sorry, is that the right number? Let me see here. I've lost my way. Jackie, can you help me? I don't have my number.
I'm sorry. Oh, the number?
The
you forgot the number?
Yeah.
What is our call number?
Area code 714-242-5288. That's area code 714-242-5288 if you want to call in with a comment or a question.
Excellent. We'd love to have you, so please do join us and speak confidently. All right, we're back. So, Sheila, you're going to have, you know, in any particular presentation, you're going to have a few minutes of undivided attention to communicate the sort of the tricks of the trade or the things that people should work on first and then second and then third. So what would be the first, second, and third things that you'd like to communicate to an audience most importantly?
First, remember that your presentation starts long before you stand up in front of your audience. For instance, if you are presenting, Mark, when you present to the chamber, you've been around town, you've seen people, people have come in earlier during the networking portion, etc. You are always representing yourself. Now, if Mark, if I pull into the parking lot and you're behind me and I'm going a little slow and whatever, and then you honk your horn at me and I kind of, when we get inside and I see that that was you that got out of your car and then you get up to speak, instead of saying, oh, hey, now I'm going to turn my eyes and ears and attention to Mark, I'm already thinking, oh, you know, such in a hurry to get here, blowing your horn at me. I already have a negative thought pattern going on. So our representation or our presentation starts, and I know you would never do that, Mark.
I know a guy who did that once. So I know a guy who fought. This guy was really slow in front of him, and he was honking because he had to get to this meeting and just, you know, flipping the guy off. This was years ago.
Oh,
and
God.
Gets into the meeting, and it's the guy. So he said,
right.
Needless to say, I did not make the sale.
and it's probably not often that it's going to be an exact one for one like that, but we do represent ourselves. So when we decide to maybe not hold a door for someone, or we're walking and someone drops you know, all their papers and we're too busy, so we walk on and someone behind us sees that, we're constantly leaving little clues, right? It's that whole you can't just be good when someone's looking kind of thing.
So
when you get up there, we talk about in the trainings that I do, we talk about all the biases that your audience already comes with, and some of them you can know about and even mitigate, but some you can't. So that's the first thing, is just know that you are, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's fair or not, we're all always being watched and then ultimately judged on how we behave before
just
we get
the
up
way,
there.
Yeah, just the way you look. People are just going to judge you just by looking
sure.
at you. You know?
Sure.
I remember years ago, I wasn't a fan of Sharon Stone for whatever reason. She just came off as a very cold person to me. And then I saw her speaking at something, and I loved her. She was not the person that I projected on her. You know,
right.
just because of the way she looks. And then I saw her speak, and I thought, wow, this woman is smart. She's funny. She's fabulous.
And isn't that funny? My husband works in entertainment, and when he comes home, he knows the rule. If it's someone that I like, don't tell me that they weren't who I think they are. And it's always great when
go ahead.
It's great when the person that I think I see and I think I know, which is silly because I know nothing about them except what I maybe hear say and then how I see them act. And then he comes home and tells me a lovely story. It's that congruency. I'm like, wow, now they've gone up 100%.
Yeah.
It can't work in our favor. So the example I gave with Mark was obviously a negative one, the positive being, if if you did come early to help, or you know someone sees you in an act of kindness, or anything at all, maybe you came up to them before, they weren't talking with someone, and in the networking portion, you went up and extended yourself to them. Now you get up to speak. They're on your side because you have had a positive impact in some way, whether with them specifically or something around them that they witnessed. So that's the first thing I would say, is that know that you are always representing yourself. The second thing, and this is what I talked about at the Lunch and Learn, practice. From the time we're little to the time, I think, forever, no one likes that. Everyone wants a diet pill. They don't want to actually diet.
Right.
So practicing is not a very sexy and enticing thing to do. It is the only way to make sure that you have the biggest impact. So many times people have either argued with me that they're better when they wing it, and I can guarantee you, if you look at any professional speaker, any presenter, anybody who's on a stage, they're not winging it. It may come across natural so much that they know their stuff so well that someone can cough or leave or ask a question or the microphone doesn't work and they're unflappable. And we talk about even practicing. You can even practice for impromptu things. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. We speak in an impromptu situation all the time. All someone has to do is ask us a question. Well, we didn't prepare for that specifically. However, if you're giving a talk, know as much about your subject matter as you can, even if it's not part of your presentation, so that when somebody asks you a question, you're able to answer it. And then practice those things with colleagues, with friends, with your people at home, even if you have to do it in your car. Write down some questions, right, and either record them or, maybe in your car was a bad choice of words, but you can do this by yourself. You can write down 10 or 15 questions and then just pop them up, just flip over a card. Okay, here's my question. Now, I'm not going to cough and I'm not going to, answer the question.
Yeah.
And the best way to do all of that is practice, practice, practice.
you know, I got to tell you something funny. In this day and age, with Google and everybody knows everything, one of my favorite phrases now, and I know this is going to sound weird, but my favorite phrase, when somebody asks me something and I don't know, I just look at them and I say, I don't know. And I know that sounds the opposite of what you're saying, but in some situation, because when I do that, a lot of times, like, somebody will ask me something, assuming I know the answer, and I look at them in the eye, I say, I don't know. And they stop and they look at you like, what do you mean you don't know? Not that you should know this, but just saying that, people stop and look at you like, okay. I'm not a know-it-all. And it stops people in their tracks.
But isn't that part of where we've grown as a society? And we talk about this. We were just talking about this at Raytheon last week, that we are challenged in our society to be allowed to say that, especially in certain circumstances. People feel if I don't have the answer, it's going to reflect negative on me. Well, I would submit that stammering or coming up with a fluff answer or the wrong answer is going to reflect negatively as well.
Yes.
And Jackie, right along with what you're saying is another thing that I have. I just gave a presentation at a grade school to the educators, and I said, please allow your kids, let them know that it's okay to be silent. When someone asks a question, that's people say, well, I have a lot of ums and you knows and likes and. Because we're just trying to fill the space. If someone asks you a question and you pause, what is that saying to the person? I'm giving your question thought. I'm actually putting my mind to the matter. And we today we are so uncomfortable with that silence, right? Because we live in a Google world where you just will figure it out right this second. So the silence is okay when someone asks, especially in other places too, but especially when someone asks you a question, be thoughtful. Some people just can't stand it so much that they have to say, let me think about that, which is fine. But that goes along with, Jackie, you're saying, I don't know. And that's okay, because again, that goes back to number one, which is that representation. I don't know everything. I can find out, or we can work on it together, but I'm just going to be honest with you. And then, Joe, to answer the third thing, is the third thing goes back to that congruency. So your visual, your verbal, and your vocal. So what are the words you're choosing? How are you saying them? And then how do you look when you say them? And this is a big one when we use videotape feedback in my trainings. People are astonished to find that they are doing things that they had no idea they were doing, or that they, for instance, might seem stifled or really stiff. And they thought, no, I'm not nervous. I thought I was pretty comfortable and casual. But when they see what they're actually giving to the audience, they realize how the audience can have a very different feeling about them. And video is not everybody's favorite thing to do, but I'll tell you what, by the end of the training, when we go back and look at their first, we do a baseline video. Pretty much the first thing when you come into the training, the first thing we do is a video just to get a true baseline snapshot with any sort of practice. And then the last video that we do in the training, people see growth in the matter of, you know, 4 to 8 hours generally for the first training, and we're already seeing changes in how they're presenting and how much more impactful and meaningful it is and how it's really what they thought they were doing or what they wanted to do. It's huge. It's,
now,
it's epic.
I have to ask. What?
It's epic.
What?
But you're awesome.
Epic. Oh, and you're awesome.
Oh,
I have
this is awkward. Very awkward.
I have to tell you, Mark, it was so charming after the talk on Friday, because I had mentioned the awesome and the fine thing, and I got an email from someone that said, your talk was awesome, and then they followed it up with another email that said, no, just kidding, it was fine. But isn't that true? If someone said, oh, that talk was fine, you'd be disappointed.
Right. Yeah,
Sheila, I've been involved in the software industry for many years before, 30 years, and I had and encountered several salespeople who basically said, you know, I can't wait to talk to you about my product because I'm such an awesome salesperson. I know you're going to buy it. And that is such a unbelievable sort of, it's they call it an ask. You ask before you ask. You tell people how great you are before you even prove that you can speak, and things like that. And so what kinds of professions do you find people are the worst at communicating? I often would say, without, you know, a reservation, sales. People in sales who obviously don't do very well think they're so awesome.
I think anybody who hasn't had the opportunity to really work with whether it's through Toastmasters or Dale Carnegie or working with my company, somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to really educate themselves and then critique themselves and know what they might be able to work on. For instance, I've mentioned Raytheon a couple times. It's fresh in my mind because I just finished a class there, and I came from 17 years in aerospace. For anybody, it's not their fault, certainly, that they grew up in a math, computer science, engineering background. When I have a class like that and I say, how many people here took speech and debate? Nobody. How many people here took a discussion of English literature class? Nobody. So none of that was on their radar because they were being brilliant in other areas. So now we just have to blend the brilliance, if you will, and give them their class and allow them to do something that they've never done. You are right that different, and it's unfair to say all engineers or all this or all that. There are, though, different classes of people who have certain traits in common that I see, whether it's just being completely uncomfortable. I've had people get up in front of the camera and cry, adults. I mean, not sort of shed a tear, but literally cry. I've had people run out of the room. I mean, I've had people who have been just terrified of it. And then there are people who think, right, but this goes for all of us, right? I've walked out of the house, I'm sure, and thought I've looked fabulous, and that's not what everyone else at the party thought. So it's really just getting to people and saying, you have fantastic skills, you have really this wealth of knowledge in your specific area. Now we need to blend it with some other things because I'm not sure for some people walking in and saying I'm an awesome salesman, for sure you'll buy from me. I don't think that would work with me. I would have a bias against that person for being so crossing the line from confidence into cocky, and I don't necessarily know that that would work for me. So I think all of us have things that we're really skilled at and really great at. I say everybody is great at something, and we're all not good at a lot of things. So if we can just, right? I mean, you sit me down at a CAD desk to do some engineering, good luck. You're never going to get anything that flies. So it would be the same, it would be the same in reverse. I'm sorry, Jackie, go ahead.
Well, No. You finish your thought.
I was just going to say really quickly when I mentioned that some people are really terrified, and I mean that, I truly mean that as terrified. This isn't something that I'm terrified of, so I've had to come up with something in my own mind to equate to how people might feel when I say, hey, let's get up and do this just 2 minutes. If someone were to say, let's go skydiving, it's just 2 minutes. That would be I'm paralyzed with fear at even the thought of doing it. I will never skydive. I say that, probably someone will prove me wrong sometime, but I get sick to my stomach when I think about it. So I really dug deep and thought about it a long time so that I could have at least a somewhat of an understanding of how people feel. And that even if you say, well, it's irrational or nothing's going to happen to you or whatever, the only difference is I never have to skydive. I don't think there's going to come in my time in my life when I'm going to have to do it. But communication and speaking, public speaking is speaking to one other person. That will happen. Everyone will have to do that.
That's a good analogy.
Good analogy.
Of course,
the
skydiving thing, that's just self-preservation, right? No, you know, I wanted to ask Mark, because Joe, you weren't at the mixer at the new chamber offices, but Mark, when you got up, you got in the conference room, and you made your, I don't know that we'd call it a speech, but you wanted to say a few things. Now you're very, very good at it. And you had a lot of years in the industry you worked in where I'm sure you had to do that. But what Sheila was saying about practicing, like, did you practice that speech? Because it was very, very good.
No, that's actually, to Sheila's point, that's actually one of the problems I have. In speaking, I get up and I pretty much speak, you know, wear my heart on my sleeve, and I've got to stop doing that. I've had coaches tell me that too, you know, that I could be much more succinct because, you know, I also have a reputation of, you know, going, oh, Mark's getting up to speak, get ready, you know, we're going to be here a while, you know, that's not a good thing.
You know, you want to be succinct. You want to be specific. You want to have open, middle, close. And you want to be, you know, and you can still be engaging. You can still be passionate. It's just you're much more succinct and you come off much more professional. And that's a real issue with me. I mean, I'm lucky that I've gotten away with it. But.
Oh, no, I think you're a great speaker. I enjoy listening to you. I know that you make fun of yourself. You know, okay, everybody sit down. We could be here a while. But you do it in a way I find it very engaging. So I don't think that about you at all. I never
thank
thought
you.
That.
Well,
I
mean, thank you.
I mean, then again, it might have been the Theraflu that
yeah,
night.
Well, it definitely was the Theraflu.
Yeah. No, but I appreciate that.
One of the things that practice can help mitigate is the sit down and then stand up again. Oh, one more thing I forgot.
Right.
One thing that, and along with a powerful open and close, we talked about that a little bit last Friday, and we'll talk about it again on the 15th. How do you capture your audience? Right. We want to have everyone looking up, eyes on us, captivated, and then and maybe captivated is a little bit strong, but we do want people's attention as we start, and it's really unfortunate when you kind of collect people along the way as you talk. We want them all at the ready when the first word comes out, and then I say kick them out the door singing the same song. So at the end of the talk, end it so that we know it's ended, we know when to clap or when to do whatever it is that we're going to do next, and that we all got the same message. And so those are some things that practice. And Jackie, I agree with you. Mark is easy to listen to, and he puts his thoughts together well, even off the cuff. For a lot of people, we don't have that advantage. So my concern would be, you know, yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that you said, and I think this is an easy fix for a lot of people, because entry is a barrier for a lot of people. How do I get started? Once they get started, it's like the lawnmower. You know, you're pulling on the cord, and once that lawnmower gets started, you're fine. You're mowing, boom, boom, boom. But you said, and I've had others tell me this, and I try to do this, is come up with your opening comment.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with what you want to say at the beginning as you're open. Have that scripted out. You want to work off the cuff. You want to work from a basic outline, whatever. That's fine. But have that all scripted out and give yourself a launch pad.
Those first couple of sentences, and if it's going to be a quote or if it's a joke, and be careful with that one. If it's a humor thing, make sure that it truly is funny. And that said, to your point, Mark, I do not at all advocate memorizing anything beyond the opening few sentences and perhaps the close, again, if it's a quote or however you're going to wrap it up, because we don't want to – you cannot bring in a canned speech. You cannot – people say, oh, practice, practice. I practice it so much that I know every single word. The problem is then it's going to be stale. And then, if someone does get up or ask a question or – something happens during that and you've lost your place, now it can be a real mess.
Right.
So you're right. We have a couple sentences at the beginning, a couple sentences at the end that we know, like, we have those memorized for sure and we're really comfortable with them. And then in the middle, it's bullet points.
And I know we're running tight, but the other thing that I have, someone told me, is my eyes dart around. And, you know, the thing is, I'm blind. Really, literally, I don't see out of my right eye and my left eye, you know, so I don't see, if you're out in the audience, way out in the audience, I don't really see you real clearly. Mm-hmm. And so I think my eyes just kind of wander around and scope in the whole crowd. And they say, and one guy told me, it looks like I'm darting around with my eyes rather than fixing on one person and then going to another person or, changing and having a relationship with another person from the state, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's the connection. And we'll talk about that on the 15th as well.
Yeah, that's something for me.
Connection.
Good.
Okay, we're running out of time. Yep. Sheila, tell us about any events you have coming up and tell us how people can get in touch with you, website, phone, email.
Sure. The website currently I'm rebranding, but for now it is speakandpresentconfidently.com. My phone number and email are on there. I am local here in the South Bay. And I have an event coming up on March 15th for the Chamber. And Mark, correct me, I think it's at the library.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know.
Manhattan Beach Public Library. Community
and
room.
I believe it's from 10 to 12.
10 to 12. It's free for Chamber members. We always have snacks and drinks. And it's really a great, I mean, we try to really, this is one of the services we try to give our members is get them working.
And this one
smart.
Will be interactive. This one will be interactive. There will be a lot of group participation with partners and that sort of thing. So it will, it will, I hope to have people really be active and have a fun time with that one while they're learning.
That sounds like a great event. That sounds like a terrific event. What's the date?
March
15th.
March 15th.
Manhattan Beach. March 15th, Manhattan Beach Public Library. Time again?
10 to noon.
10 a.m.
10 to noon. All right. And you can just contact the Manhattan Beach Chamber.
Yeah, and we'll be sending out flyers, and you can sign up. And like I said, it's free for members, but we do need to get a head count. So, yes.
Let them know you're coming. All right,
yep.
Joe, let's wrap this up. Another fun Friday show. And we learned things.
Great
we
show.
Things. Yeah.
We learned a lot
Thank
of
you.
Things, and we're looking forward to talking with you again, Sheila. Thank you for joining
well,
us.
Well, thank you. I would be happy to come back.
Excellent. Excellent.
I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend.
Yes. And thank you, Mark. Thank you for joining us today.
You are welcome.
And thank you, Jackie.
Everybody have
Always
a great
a pleasure,
weekend.
Joe. Yes, everybody have a great
Everyone,
weekend.
We'll see you soon. Have a fantastic weekend. And don't fail, ladies and gentlemen, to go to El Segundo Museum of Art. They have an amazing, amazing, amazing presentation, exhibit, Experience 33. You will remember it the rest of your life. It's that good.
Hey, also.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mark?
One quick announcement. We also have a legal seminar at 12:30 today. Not a legal, a tax seminar at 12:30 today at the Manhattan Beach Public Library. So even though we've sent out a lot of notices, if you still are just getting this, it's free to Chamber members. But it's at 12:30 at the Manhattan Beach Public Library community room, and it includes lunch.
All right.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent.
Happy Friday.
Talk to you soon.
And everybody,
Happy Friday.
Have a Monday. Don't forget, Monday's a holiday. Happy President's Day.
All right. See you guys.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.